If you're used to praying, please pray with me. If not, you might just want to use a moment of quiet just to think about what's going on today and those readings that we've just heard and what you might make of them. But the prayer is this, that Lord, we'll be open to your voice into our lives, that we will learn the purposes of our lives and live well in you, and that we will learn the servant heart that you have for us and so be servants too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is the first of two sermons in this church. If you want to hear the next one, you can hear it recorded afterwards on our website. I don't want you to miss part two when you're getting part one today. But this is the first of two sermons then on serving. And this week and next week, we're going to see that to commit your life to serving others is integral to being a Christian. As Christians, we've been seeing and trying to emphasize over the last couple of years here that there are certain practices that go with being a Christian. There is worship Sunday by Sunday. It goes with being a Christian. Praying day by day. Receiving the utter grace of communion. Seeking to share our lives with one another. Giving generously and witnessing to the love of God in Jesus Christ. All of that is what a Christian is, does. And also, we aim to form our lives in serving. And all of this is in response to our faith in Christ Jesus, who told us that the only way to become truly great, to truly have a good life, is to serve others. Just as he, Jesus, came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. So Reuben, wherever he's gone, I hope he's listening in the grace room at the moment. Reuben, you, me, all of us, can only have a fulfilled life if we truly learn to serve. We can have many years on this earth, but if we've not learned to serve, it will have been a wasted life. And some of the very best lives that we respect and admire are where people have dedicated themselves to serving others, and quite often such people have died too young. But their lives have been absolutely good, purposeful, and fruitful. So serving means using... Oh, they've lost the screen here. They're supposed to have slides on. We lost them. Oh, okay. Right. Well, that was an hour's wasted work. Oh, I won't complain. Okay, right. So there's supposed to be slides that go with this, but you just have to listen all the more intently. Serving means using the gifts and talents that we all have to the full, obviously. And I'm sure that Nick and Laura are parenting Reuben, that he does his very best in life, that he aims to fulfill all of his potential. And he has a potential living in Alpington, where I come from, that he may go to St. Olaf's Grammar School, I guess. So it's a possibility, as Nick did and I did. And I won't particularly recommend it, actually, but I think Nick did. It changed a lot. It changed a lot after my years there. So there's all that potential to develop and grow as a person that Reuben will have. And serving is about working hard. He'll have to study hard through his life, and he will have to work hard in his paid work if he truly wants to serve. And serving is certainly about giving of ourselves to friends and family. You may hope and pray that Reuben does that over the years to come, that he gives back to you for all the love that you're giving to him. So all of this, using gifts and talents, working hard, fulfilling potential, being a good friend and family member, are all integral to serving. Christ-like service demands all of this. And yet it demands much, much more too. The sort of serving that Jesus talked about is about giving of ourselves for the sake of others, beyond friends and family, giving freely, not counting the cost. Christ-like service demands time and emotional energy without expectation of reward. And such serving is costly. It means putting ourselves out, giving up time that we would rather keep for ourselves. Such serving means putting ourselves with people and in situations that take us beyond our comfort zones, into places we would rather not be. Christ-like service means making these sacrifices simply for the sake of others. Why? Why do we do this? Why would anyone do this? Why give up time, money, emotional energy that we could keep for ourselves or at most share with friends and family? Why is serving so integral to being a Christian? It's clearly not because we're guaranteed some divine payback in this life. Christians are no more immune from the problems and pains of this world than anyone else. John Witts, our church warden, friend and brother, is one of the most selfless people I know. He gives hours and hours of his time and emotional energy to serving. There is so much that he and Libby, his wife, give to this church and supporting others here and beyond. John uses his great gifts as a lawyer, freely helping others in hours and hours of unseen support that most people would not know about. John does all of this and yet has suffered horrendously from COVID, and now his life is on a knife edge. So why serve? Why not eat, drink, and be merry and forget other people? Why not indulge yourself and forget any demands beyond friends and family? Well, let's see the reading we had just now from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, the first passage that Jez read for us. Christians believe that this was written by the Apostle Peter, a leading disciple, a friend of Jesus, who became a key leader in the church. So Peter knew all about serving, and he also knew all about suffering. His letter is to Christians who, like him, are undergoing persecution by the twin forces of the Roman Empire and the Jewish authorities. It is a persecution that would see many die, including Peter himself. It is believed he was crucified upside down for his loyalty to faith in Christ. So as I said, no divine payback in this life. And yet, Peter says in verse 2 of the passage, be eager to serve. And he gives us three reasons why. First of all, Peter says, because your shepherds are God's flock that's under your care. You serve not for yourself, or if your service is church-related, not for the vicar. It isn't even, first of all, for other people. You serve eagerly because it is for God, his work, his flock, to use Peter's word. Your service and care comes out of your love and care for God, his work, his priorities. In belief in God as your creator, you recognize that it is impossible to have a fulfilled life unless you live in his way of service. And then from your love for God, there is a second consequent factor that will make you eager to serve. You become countercultural. All your values change from the materialism around you. Do not be greedy for money, Peter says, again in verse 2 of the reading. So in love for God, all of the materialism stuff that can so dominate life that weighs people down recedes. Instead, you want God's values, God's kingdom. And from our love for God, adopting new values and priorities, we give up on the world's ways of arrogance, self-seeking, and domination. Humility becomes our watchword. Serve, says Peter, not lording it over others, but setting example, being submissive to others, humbling ourselves. It's in verse 3-6 of the reading. This humility and respect for others comes out of our deep awareness of our own need for God's grace in our lives. The Christian's love for God, then, being shaped by his love to be humble, brings our commitment to serve. But what about the cost of all of this? What about the cost when service can be so draining physically, emotionally, and spiritually? How can you be sustained? Where can you find strength in service? First, as Peter says in verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You pray, you give your concerns and your tiredness to Christ. You seek the truth of his words, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That handing over of your weariness and burden is continuous. It's not a one-off prayer. It's handing over all the time that you may find rest in Christ. And then, full strength for the service that we're called to, we have to then spend much time seeking to know God. And as Peter tells us, we are to resist the devil, to be aware that there is a destructive force at work around us, a negative force, call it the devil, Satan, whatever you like. There is a force that will try to weigh you down, tell you that your service of God is a waste of time. You don't have to fear. The devil cannot stand against the presence of Christ, but you do have to invoke God's presence. putting on, as Paul tells us elsewhere in the Bible, the whole armor of God. Consciously, when all that negativity comes, when all the weariness is there, consciously put on the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the words of God, the belt of truth. And Paul finishes that passage by saying, pray and pray again. And many of us would have felt incredibly weary this last week in this church, whereas first there was a bit of optimism and then the devastating news of Friday night. Where do you go? The negative forces would tell you, give up. Our faith in Christ tells us you put on the armor of God. You keep praying, you keep seeking, you keep casting your weariness, your anxiety onto God. And finally, for your strength in service, know that you will share in God's glory in Jesus, his eternal power beyond this troublous life. In verse 4, Peter says, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And in verse 10, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This is the sure hope for John and all the saints of Christian service. It is the sure hope for Reuben, for us all, if we give ourselves to Christ in service. There are dimensions beyond this life, eternal glory for all in Christ. Servants of Christ know that our true home, the life we live for, is actually beyond this world. And this is then the Christian life that Reuben is baptized into today. It means a call to give his life in service, to give himself freely to others without expectation of reward. It's the call on all of our lives as Christians, to seek to serve out a love for God, being shaped by his priorities, becoming humble. In this indeed, we will discover the crown of life, our life's purpose, in this life and into the glory of eternal life. The paradox of Christian faith, whoever would be great must be a servant. And when we live like this, when we've truly given our time and talents in service of others, we can look forward to the end of our days. We can look forward to our Maker, Creator saying to us, as Jesus related in the parable, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Come and share your master's happiness. There are so many ways to serve. There's a crying world that wants, needs people to give of themselves in time, energy, commitment. So many agencies beyond the church. And in this church, there is so much need too. Any gift you have can be used in this church. And all the more so as we've lost at the moment a key player, John, and all that John was doing for us. So I pray to the people of our church who are following on Zoom or here now that you will consider about how you will serve in the coming months and years. So many ways to serve then, here in this church, churches wherever you live and beyond, serving and finding your life's purpose, a fulfilled life in God. Amen.